tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got to come strong. If you're coming at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage. Road rage.
Walt Diptula, Road Rage. We are back. We have lots to get to, including a big, big splash.
Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, a big.
Now I get it.
Yeah, big, big, giant, giant splash.
Yeah, giant splash.
Yeah, a white rice akebono style splash. some of you may get that. Listen, I want to talk about this SEC predicted order of finish from the media. But as a part of this, we need to get to the top two quarterbacks in the SEC. We didn't finish that yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, look. But
I thought sure we did.
Nope. We still have to get to the top two. They're fairly obvious. Although there was one very surprising little detail that came out. In fact, Ramona, I'll tell you what. Let's do that first, because I don't want to lose that today somehow. We get carried away with these other things, and Brad's going to be on it.
What are we doing first? The last two.
Yeah,
things?
The last two. All right. So. All right. If you missed it, Ramona, run. This is the Road Rage quarterback rankings for the SEC this year. And again, I'm not going to go into great detail right now, but let me just suffice.
So read the list.
So yeah, in a second. But suffice it to say that the list, just like my ACC list, is based on the quarterback's world. It's not the quarterback in a vacuum. It's not just a strictly talent list. That would be an NFL evaluation. What I'm interested in is the likely productivity of the quarterback this year at the collegiate level, okay? And that includes their universe. And maybe that's the way it's most succinctly said, the likely productivity of the quarterbacks this year. All right, so let's go ahead and run. Go from the bottom. And again, there are no dead spots. I don't dislike any of these guys. And that, for me, I mean, that's insane. Because, like, normally I'm putting big red marks through, like, 80% of them. Because we're haters. But unfortunately, there's no hate here. I mean, I think every team, again, I don't like some of
their... Well, some of them you hate a little less.
Well, I don't like some of their
situations. It's about their situations.
Yeah, I don't like some of their situations. Yeah. But from a talent standpoint... I think every quarterback on this list, these teams have something to work with. Now it's up to them to get the best out of them. Because again, even these guys at the bottom of the SEC list have great physical tools. All right, go ahead.
Okay, number 16 is KJ Jackson of Arkansas. Number 15.
And
is,
by the way, he's one of those. Again, no, I didn't say anything. You said he's one.
You said you weren't going to say anything. Oh, don't be shushing me. It's close to football season.
He's one of those guys. He's 6'4". He's 225. He's a lefty, live arm, super athlete. You know, we haven't seen anything from him. So we'll see. By the way, Silverfield's talking about getting Walmart fully behind the Arkansas program and then passing everybody. So that'll be interesting. All right.
Number 15 is Faison Brandon at Tennessee.
Yeah. Is it all right if I say something now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that I know you're gonna.
I think Faison Brandon is going to be the starter. They're slow playing it, but he's the talent. And, you know, he's there are two guys on this list that remind a little bit of Randall Cunningham, body type wise, sort of long looping delivery. But great athletes, super live arm. What are you laughing at?
Somebody said, for your crayon color,
yeah.
Petrino Road Rash Red.
We need to do that. We should just open
That's funny.
We should open that topic up. I think we come up with all sorts of things. Green would be the color of money, and we should have somebody who's made a lot of money, like Sam Levitt Green or something of that sort. Darian Mensah Green
makes a lot of money. Yeah,
6.5 million. Darian Mensah Green. Could yeah. Not. All right, what you got?
All right, the next one is Austin. Number 14 is Austin Simmons at Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, lost his job to Trinidad Chambliss, at least for most of the game, except when he got down near the goal line. And then Lane would put Austin Simmons in for some reason, known only to Lane. But I like Simmons. Again, he's...
Lane Kiffin may have done that, but at least he punished himself for it.
Yeah, he did. He punished himself right in game. Right in game. I think that you're talking about a 6'4 lefty with a live arm and who has NFL potential, and should be an NFL quarterback. Right.
Number 13 is Keelon Russell at Alabama.
Yeah, super physical talent. Probably throw a football 80 yards. I think he wins the job against Austin Mack. I wouldn't be surprised with either result here. There's no loser here except DeBoer. I know people love DeBoer. I know Clark was talking a little bit about DeBoer earlier. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all. I mean, this is a slight tangent here, but, there's just no SEC evidence of any of it. Okay, none of the stuff before matters. It's what you're doing now in Alabama, and there are some really disturbing trends for Kalen DeBoer. Like, we can say whatever we want, but Venables owned him. I mean, 2 years ago, DeBoer is a playoff team. All he has to do is lose competitively at crappy Oklahoma, and instead he gets destroyed by Oklahoma, embarrassed. He gets trucked by a team that doesn't have a quarterback, doesn't have a running game. They rushed for over 200 yards early in the game. They couldn't stop anything, and OU destroyed them. You can't, when you allegedly have the better team, and then you still want to be in the playoffs, but he got woodshedded by Brent Venables. And then you come back the next year and you lose to Mike Norvell? And nobody else loses to Norvell all year but you? And then you get the end of the season and Indiana beats you by like a million and just rubs your face in it physically? And, oh, by the way, over the course of the season, you put together the 125th ranked run game in the country? I just don't see it. I think this is actually going to end badly at Alabama. Now, I do see this. Both these quarterbacks are talented. If there's salvation there, it's in these quarterbacks. And quite honestly, that was really the salvation of DeBoer in Washington. He had Michael Penix, and he had great receivers. That was his salvation. I think that Russell is an exceptional talent. And again, I think Mack is talented. If Mack isn't going to start at Alabama, he's going to go somewhere else and start. I mean, he's 6'6", live arm, good athlete. There's nothing to dislike. Russell's just a little better at everything, I think.
Okay, number 12 is Aaron Filo from Florida.
Yeah, we explained this one in depth. I think he's got the greatest arsenal of skill position people in the SEC, maybe this side of Texas.
11 is Kenny Minchie at Kentucky.
I'm really high on Minchie, and I'm high on what Stein's doing. Minchie lost out a very competitive race to be the starter at Notre Dame to CJ Carr, who a lot of people have as the Heisman leader for this year. And now I don't, but I could see him getting there, though. And Minchie is a lot like Carr, except he's a better athlete. There were a lot of people who were watching those practices who thought that Minchie was going to win the day. So I think Kentucky got a good one.
Okay. I'm going to try to say his name right. Camaro? Is it Camaro? No. Taylor?
I was thinking to myself, I don't even know who you're talking about. Kamario Taylor.
Kamario
Taylor, yes.
Okay, Kamario Taylor.
Yeah, look, I've been making the case for Mississippi State forever. I gave them out months ago to go higher than their total of 4.5. Again, Taylor is a freak athlete, 6'4", 230. He may be the best athlete at quarterback in the SEC.
Okay, the next one is number 9, Jared Curtis at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, the most talented quarterback in America. How about that? Now, again, he's a kid, and we'll see how it plays out, but he is immensely gifted. He has a cannon for an arm. He's 6'3.5", 225, good athlete. I'm not sure there's anyone more talented in the country. He's in that. There are some others. I think Malik Washington at Maryland is hyper talented. I think Drake Lindsey at Minnesota is talented, but I don't know if they're ever going to let him throw. Go ahead.
You think if Jared Curtis goes to the national championship and then gets picked by the NFL by the best team, that Diego Pavia would be upset?
You know, I was looking at that photo again during the break. I swear, yeah. I don't care what they say. What they list him at, that dude's 5'5".
You think he's didn't they look him up?
He's 5'5". 5'5".
Then they're going to list him as 5'7". Let's see.
Yeah, no, that's right. They will list him at 5'7". That's exactly right. He's 5'5". How tall are you, Ramona?
I'm 5'6".
So you are taller than Diego Pavia.
They got him listed as 5'10".
That may be the biggest lie of all time. That may be the biggest lie of all time. 5'10".
5'10". I was giving him some. Man.
Yeah, no, that dude's 5'5". I mean, yeah, legit 5'5". Yeah.
What was that one, Bryce Young? He was 5'7".
Now, Bryce Young is probably 5'10".
Yeah,
he's like 190 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, he's wee little too. Kyler Murray's like 5'8", but Kyler Murray probably weighs 215 or something, 220 maybe. He's a thick little munchkin.
Low to the ground. Okay.
He's thick little. Hold that thought. Walt Tipchula Road Rage will be back.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, Gold Glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch Willie Mays style and goes into the wall.
For every pitch from March to October,
we are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball.
Right here on The Roar.
The Upstate Sports Authority. 105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar.
Where every day is game day.
Hey, I don't know where you're watching all the games, but it ought to be at Twin Peaks. When football season on the way, man, make it your regular stop. But baseball, Braves fan, UFC, boxing, whatever your sport is, it is on the air. WNBA, whatever your sport is, it is on the air. All right, Ramona, let's get back to the SEC quarterbacks. I have some other things regarding what's going on with the SEC, including their projected standings based on the media. We'll talk about that. But there's another little element I want to get to that I think is an insidious sign of what's really going on with the SEC and just how desperate they are in trying to sell this strength of schedule crap. All right.
Okay, 8 is Marcel Reed at Texas A&M.
Yeah, again, a lot like Kevin Jennings at SMU, sort of the same guy, different league, built the same way, similar skill set. You know, neither of these guys is an artist in terms of throwing the football, but they're just both very effective. Reed is probably, a little more versatile in that he's probably a little more of a runner than Jennings is. Jennings can run, but doesn't prefer it. He prefers to sit there and throw the ball and or, move the pocket and throw the ball. But both put a lot of pressure on opposing defenses, and Marcel Reed did a really good job of that last year, and he still has Craver back, and Craver is a big-time weapon. I think A&M is going to be better than people think. The offensive line, they had to bring a number of new pieces there, but I think they're well-coached, and I think they'd be fine.
Number seven is Byron Brown at Auburn.
Yeah, again, the only quarterback in America last year threw for 3,000 yards and rushed for 1,000 yards. And he reminds me of Michael Bishop from Kansas State. He's not quite as physical as Bishop was as a runner, but he's along those same lines. And again, he has a talented arm. You know, he's not a big guy. I mean, at most, he's probably 6'1", but he's athletic. He can extend plays. He makes plays with his legs. He's absolutely capable of rushing for 100 yards in a game and throwing for 300 or 400. So, by the way, this situation is a little similar to the situations at Oklahoma State from North Texas or at Penn State from Iowa State, where basically you had these whole teams move. You know, essentially, this is the South Florida Eagles, at least as it relates to their offense.
Okay, number six is Lenora Sellers at South Carolina.
Yeah, it just comes down to the help he gets. He's more talented than this, but again, this is about trying to project productivity, and that depends on these other parts. What does he get from his offensive line? That's where it starts. Now, this line has been reconstructed, and I think some of the pieces are better, but how do they operate as a whole? It remains to be seen. That's how he's six.
Five is Gunnar Stockton at Georgia.
Yeah, again, from a strictly talent standpoint, okay, he might be last. He might be 16 out of 16, but he has intangibles out the yin-yang. I mean, he's loaded with that element. He's a leader. He's tough. You know, he throws the ball well enough to be productive. I mean, he completed like 70% of his throws last year for a guy who really doesn't have an elite arm. And you don't look at him and think, oh, yeah, I want that guy as a passer. But he wins. And he was a better choice for Georgia than Carson Beck was. And I think that tells you a lot about him. And he's going to be productive. There's no question about that. Again, this is not about evaluating him for the NFL. It's evaluating whether he's going to be a productive college player. And I don't think there's any question about that. I think the down the road question about him is, can he win the biggest games at the end of the rainbow against elite quarterbacks? I think that's the question. I sort of think the answer to that is no.
Okay, number four is Sam Leavitt at LSU.
Yeah, which Sam Leavitt shows up, the one from Arizona State 2 years ago, the one from an advanced version of that one, or the one from Arizona State last year that was just a problem child, it seemed. I don't have any answer to it. I'm sort of guessing the one from 2 years ago, but again, he did not participate in the spring. We're going to find out early. Look, again, if you watch this guy 2 years ago and you watched him play and you watched him go against Texas in the playoff, Without Jordan Tyson, his number one receiver was hurt, you would think that he was the next big thing. He had unbelievable elusiveness and movement ability. I mean, just crazy. Texas could not get him down, and he just showed unbelievable toughness and leadership. And then the next year, it all went away. I don't know how you connect those dots. We're going to find out. Like I said, it'll be early. We'll find out in the Clemson game how you connect those dots.
And number three is John Mateer at Oklahoma.
Yeah, this is the best set of weapons that Mateer has had. And it's also year two at Oklahoma. So I think he clears that bar, and I think John Mateer becomes the force that that people thought he might be when he got here. Again, he was one of the Heisman favorites last year. I think it was a year premature. I think he might be in that mix this year. Ramona, one thing I need is give me the Oklahoma schedule, because I know that schedule is tough. Did we look at that schedule? I don't believe we did. Let's take a look at the Oklahoma schedule as it relates to Mateer and his productivity. But I think you're going to get a big year out of Mateer. I think he may actually be a Heisman candidate this year. He would be one of my dark horse guys, and I think Oklahoma would be one of my dark horse teams. In fact, somebody wrote me the other day and said, I think they said, Walt, I'm putting a bunch of money on Oklahoma to win the national title. What do you think? I like it. I like it. I mean, I think they have a chance to be in that mix. Look, if they beat Texas in the Red River Shootout, it's going to be on regarding Oklahoma.
Okay. Their first game is UTEP. Home.
Okay. One.
At Michigan.
That's going to be a good game. I think Michigan's going to be vastly improved. They have two dominant runners. I think Oklahoma wins this game, but yeah, I'm going to go OU, too.
Okay, and then they have New Mexico at home.
Three.
At Georgia.
3.5.
Versus Texas in Dallas.
4.
Kentucky home.
5.
At Mississippi State.
6.
South Carolina at home.
7.
At Florida.
Seven and a half.
Mississippi at home.
Eight.
Texas A&M at home.
9.
And at Missouri.
10. Yeah, I'm high on OU. Probably higher than most. I think this is the year for Venables and Mateer. I think that defense is going to be super elite, top five, maybe one. We'll see. All right. And then there were two. Correct?
Right, yes.
All right. Number two, Ramona. Number two is Trinidad Chambliss. Great first year at Ole Miss. Some of his world changes. That would be the concern. Sort of a bigger Russell Wilson. He's probably 2 inches taller than Russell Wilson is. Similar skill set to Russell Wilson. Absolutely a dual threat kind of guy who can carry a team. Really just a dynamic playmaker with a live arm. There were moments last year where he demonstrated his lack of experience by throwing the ball into high traffic areas that he never should have thrown the ball. But he's smart. And so I expect that he will learn from that. And again, some of his world changes. He loses some weaponry, but he has arguably the best running back in the nation, particularly since we don't know what's going on with Ahmad Hardy and Lacy. So that combination of Chambliss and Lacy, I'm not sure there's a better quarterback running back combo on one team in America than the one Golding has at Ole Miss. So I'm really high on Trinidad Chambliss. I'm pretty high on Ole Miss just in general. I think they're talented. I think Golding is a brilliant defensive mind. Yeah, he's a jerk, but he's a brilliant defensive mind. There's a lot of that jerk stuff going around. Nick Saban was always a jerk. Ramona, give me Ole Miss's schedule. Let's take a look at what Mr. Chambliss has to face during the year. Tony Romo's face, so red. So red.
Okay, their first game is versus Louisville in Nashville.
I can't wait to see that game. Because I think Louisville has real weapons. I mean, I think they have the best running back room in America. But Ole Miss has Lacy. I probably favor Ole Miss, though. 1.
Then they have Charlotte.
2.
Okay, and then they have LSU at home.
Can you imagine this game, Ramona? This is Lane Kiffin having to go back to Ole Miss after all those terrible things he said about that entire community. And by the way, he sort of doubled down on it at SEC Media Days, said he shouldn't have said it that way, but it's still sort of true. So he called all of Mississippi racist. You know, and we know he did that while he was, after he left there, one of the first things he did was talk about, you know, well, he's going to be able to recruit to LSU better because it's not like racist like Ole Miss. These are not his exact words, but this was the gist of what he said. You know, isn't it funny, Ramona? When he was taking all those green dollars from LSU, or from Ole Miss, rather, when he was taking all those green dollars from LSU, he didn't seem to be at all concerned about the alleged racism at Ole Miss.
Not at all.
It didn't seem to faze him at all when it came to the green dollars. It only fazed him after he left and it suited his purposes politically to try and create that agenda. Now, again, was that true at one point in the past? Yeah, probably. Is it true today? No, I don't think so. It's just like anywhere else. And Lane Kiffin, again, has used that on multiple occasions, and he's using it to try and take a recruiting advantage and to try and damage his old team. I mean, listen, Lane Kiffin is a world-class a-hole. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he's a brat. He's a baby. He keeps whining and crying about everything. But fundamentally, you want to know why Golding is a jerk? Because Kiffin's a bigger jerk. And again, all this stuff that he has said about Ole Miss, I mean, talk about fraudulent nonsense. I mean, again, it didn't bother you? Listen, if this is something that's heartfelt, that you really care about, that you really think that the state of Mississippi and the fan base at Ole Miss are full of nothing but racists, then why did you take that job? And once you, if it was that you didn't know, once you discovered it, Lane, why did you stay there? Why did you keep recruiting black athletes to go there? Why, Lane? These people are such friggin' phonies. They just are. And this guy is like the chief phony. We'll be back.
With the Roar app, whenever your Clemson Tigers are playing,
touchdown!
The game is streaming live from anywhere in the world.
Your Tigers.
Your Tigers.
Your flagship station.
Your app.
Download it today.
Hey, let me tell you about my friends at AMPM Farms, Ashley and Platt Moore, hence the A, the P, and the M. Massive working farm in Fountain Inn, between Fountain Inn and Woodruff. True farm-to-table market with complete traceability. You want to know?
I just came here from break.
Number one. Arch Manning. Now, I don't know what this means, and this is the last thing on earth I expected to hear in SEC Media Days, but Steve Sarkisian, the coach of Texas, while talking about the growth of Arch Manning, said he needs to improve his work ethic.
Uh-oh.
Okay, that...
Does he know who he's talking to?
See, right. Right, the Manning family.
The Manning family.
Right, look, don't get it twisted. If
you're
think
all funny and happy, but
right, if you think the Pavia clan can be a problem, don't mistake that laughable goofball attitude, because you know they're real life size humans.
They are.
They're like 6'5".
Yeah.
You know, not 5'5". It's an entirely different fight you'll have on your hands.
Yeah.
I was like semi-shocked to see that, Ramona.
I am too, actually.
I'm sorry, what? Especially because, you know, the Manning work ethic is sort of legendary.
Well, it would have to be anyway because, I mean, through the generations, look how good they are.
Right.
So, I mean, they don't do that being slouches.
Right, but now Cooper is sort of a goofball, and so maybe some of the goofball... Maybe some of the goofball rubbed off on the kid. I don't know.
But he's not a player, right? He's a
Well, he would have been. He got hurt. But I think that I think that I found that really disturbing. Now, I mean, it's also something I would not expect the coach to say about the star player in a public forum.
Maybe he's being a brat.
It makes me wonder. I mean, and look, here's the thing. If you aren't fully committed to the task, it won't matter how talented you are. So in other words, Ramona, I'm having some misgivings about putting Arch Manning one and thinking about him in that capacity for the draft. Yes. If the head coach says he has to improve his work ethic, I mean, that's a major friggin' shot. That's not like a little thing. You know, that's not like, well, he needs to improve this or improve in this area or he still needs to get better in this area. Your work ethic is everything. That tells everything about who you are and what you're going to be as a player. And quite honestly, given it's the Mannings and given how long he sort of waited for his chance, this is the last thing on earth I expected to hear out of Sarkisian's mouth. And it makes me wonder. I mean,
it's kind of brave.
And again, though, it does make me wonder about how I've ranked Arch Manning and what I don't know. I mean, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, so what is actually going on at Texas? What is actually going on with Arch Manning? This is not a little thing he said to him privately or a little jab over something.
I think it's weird that he said that to out in the public like that.
At SEC Media Days, like in front of the whole world.
Yeah.
That he has to improve his work ethic.
I mean, wait until if something happens during this, early in the season, and then I don't know. That seemed like he shouldn't have said that.
Well, Ramona, if it's true, then he 100% should have said it. But it also, the other part of that is, if it is true, then this thing is not going to end well for Texas, and it's not going to end well for Arch Manning.
Ooh.
So I don't know what to make of it right now. It's making me pause and give me second thoughts on what I expected Arch Manning. It's making me wonder, do I really want him at the top of these rankings, or have I ranked him too high, if that's the case? Again, that's the internal kind of thing. I have no way of knowing that. And honestly, if you had told me that a head coach is going to come out and say that one of the 16 quarterbacks that we're talking about needs to improve. Excuse me. If you had told me that about one of the 16 quarterbacks, this is like you with the police lineup of 101. I think Manning would have been like dead last on my list. You know what I mean? I mean,
I consider who his family is.
Right.
You think they would instill that in him.
Right. You know,
from the get-go, right away. You're going to work at it, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and don't embarrass us.
I mean, it's just the whole thing is very, very odd to me. Very, very strange. I don't know quite how to read it. But you know, the other part of this is this insidious thing that's going on at the SEC. And what I mean by that is, it is not coincidence that multiple SEC coaches, Ramona, have gone to the podium and started talking about going 9-3. All right. It is not coincidence that multiple SEC coaches talking about 9-3 and strength of schedule and Kiffin and Sarkisian, and others all peddling the company line. In other words, these coaches have all received their marching orders from up high. ESPN, Sankey, they have given them their marching orders regarding strength of schedule. They have been told what they are supposed to say, what they are supposed to be peddling and selling at Media Day, and like And like good little boys, they are falling in line with this convention. At first, I thought it was just Kiffin being Kiffin. And Kiffin is still just the whining brat that he is. And there's some of that. But Sarkisian's doing it too. Now, Sarkisian's sort of a whining brat himself. But, in, you know, look, these guys have been together. So, you know, it's same tree, basically. So the bottom line is they are all peddling this notion in public about the strength of schedule. And in if and 9-3 in our league is 11-1 in other leagues, they're selling this. And they're also getting help from Nick Saban, from maybe an unexpected source. I want to get to his part of this later today. But make no mistake about it. This is a directive, all right? They got the memo. A memo was sent out telling them to talk about 9-3 is 11-1. That's what they were told. They were told our 9-3 is everybody else's 11-1. Sell that. Sell that. And they're actually trying to sell this notion. Multiple coaches. Look, connect all the dots. Don't be naive. The FBI came out with their ridiculous strength of schedule list. The FBI, the propagandist arm of the SEC, came out with a ridiculous propaganda list in which 14 of the top 15 or 15 of the top 16 schedules were allegedly SEC teams. It's just utterly laughable hogwash. And then immediately Sankey latches on to that whole concept, and he is selling the same thing because he can't sell victory. Okay, there's no victory to sell. They haven't even played for the national championship the last 3 years. So he has to utilize all these, you know, red herrings. He has to utilize all this subterfuge. He has to talk about other things. And so he talks about strength of schedule. And our 9-3 is basically everyone else's 11-1. And the funniest part of all this, Ramona, is this is off a year where they were just eviscerated in bowl season. They're just terrible.
Well,
so,
they're hoping you don't remember that.
Right. But you can't. So you can't. If you were ever going to sell this, this is not the time. Now's not the time. You can't sell it because your league looked like crap. Your league got destroyed in bowl season. And yet you still want to sell me that your 9-3 is as good as everybody else's 11-1? I think it's the sort of opposite way. Brad Brownell's coming up. Stay tuned.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page
and ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com.
Let me tell you about my friends at Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. We're having a kicking off summer sale. So if you've been thinking about upgrading that ride before the travel and vacation season,